Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Josh Heyer. Lori Walsh is out today. It's a new year, and with that comes New Year's resolutions. New Year's resolutions are a great way to try something new in life, to take better care of yourself, or to take better care of the environment. With ideas on how we can all do a better job of taking care of our planet, Dr. Mark Sweeney joins us from the studio in Vermilion. He's a professor of sustainability and environment at the University of South Dakota. Professor Sweeney, welcome to the In the Moment.
Hi, Josh. Thanks for having me.
So let's jump right into it. I want to start a New Year's resolution of taking better care of the planet, taking better care of the environment, going green. You're the expert. What are the things you consider most important? What should I do?
Well, when you think about it, we're really a society of convenience, and we like to use a lot of things at our convenience, be able to go where we want to go, when we want to go. And a lot of that convenience comes with a lot of waste. And if we can reduce the amount of waste that we produce as a society, that would be a really good resolution to start out with, to try and reduce waste, reduce what we're putting in landfills, kind of shoot for a more sustainable society moving forward.
What are some tips on reducing waste? Dive into that a little deeper for me.
Sure. Well, you've all heard about reduce, reuse, recycle. And those first two R's are incredibly important. Like I said, we're a society of convenience. And so we buy a lot of things that end up in the trash, plastic wrapping, for example, single-use items. We can try really hard to reduce the number of single-use items that we might be purchasing at the store, for example, or some of those items can be reused multiple times. So rather than throwing it away, reuse it for its intended purpose, or maybe even rethink how you could reuse that item for a different purpose. And then comes recycle. If you think it's going to end up in the trash, consider if it truly is garbage and it'll end up in the landfill, or if it's something that can be recycled and turned into another object, or something like an aluminum can, for example.
Now, there have been some articles out there criticizing recycling and saying a lot of the things that we throw into the recycling bins end up in the landfill anyways. I was wondering if you could elaborate on why that is and how we can prevent that maybe from happening as often.
Well, part of that has to do with a lack of education regarding recycling. Some places aren't aware that recycling is actually occurring, so people are throwing the recycling into the trash rather than into the appropriate bins. In other cases, something big that has happened recently is China used to be a primary importer of recycled materials from the United States. Our plastic, paper, cardboard, other items were being shipped over there, and then China was recycling those materials to create other items with them. And they stopped doing that in a huge way. And so the United States is left with all of this material, all of this plastic, all of this paper and cardboard. And unfortunately, the cheaper option in some cases is that it ends up in the landfill. So to change that, the United States really needs to come up with ways to recycle here in our own country, put some people to work, and come up with ways to recycle rather than exporting our recycled materials elsewhere.
And how much landfill space are we using up? How is it too much? Is it costing a lot? What does it mean to have full landfills, I suppose?
You know, I don't think people really understand what landfills are all the time. We take them for granted. They're outside the city limits. We might never drive by them, so we don't really understand what they are. That's where the trash hauler takes our bags of garbage every week, and it disappears, and we don't ever have to see it again. But basically, they're these huge holes in the earth, often lined so that they don't leak into the underlying aquifers, and they just fill up with all of our trash and other materials that maybe don't belong in the landfill. It takes a lot of money to expand and maintain these landfills. For example, if you want to increase the size of a landfill, it may cost as as little as $1 million just to increase the size of your landfill. The first question is, do you even have the space to increase the size of the landfill? And if you do, then you can spend the money to increase the size. Who do you think is paying for that? Normally that cost gets passed on to the citizen, the nearby citizens who are using that landfill. So it costs us to actually expand landfills and maintain them over time.
And with recycling, you had mentioned once before to me about the energy cost of producing a new, for example, aluminum can versus a recycled one. I was wondering if you could go into some numbers on a couple of those things for me.
Sure. Anything that we use has to be manufactured. And of course, manufacturing can be a very energy intensive process. Aluminum is one of the most energy intensive to create an aluminum can or aluminum for anything that we use in society is incredibly energy intensive. First, the material has to be mined from the soil. Then it has to be heated up to incredibly high temperatures to melt the material, then to mold it into the shapes that we want, to press it into the flat aluminum sheets that will eventually become an aluminum can. And the, just the amount of energy required to create aluminum cans. So for example, if you recycle 1 ton of aluminum, it'll save 14,000 kilowatt hours of electricity. That's a really large amount of electricity to be saved just by recycling aluminum. So if we just chuck those aluminum cans in the landfill left and right, we're really paying more in the long run because we're having to pay to extract that aluminum from the ground and pay to transform it into the material we need to make cans out of. The great thing about aluminum is once you make an aluminum can, you can recycle that thing until the end of time. There is no limited number of times you can recycle aluminum as opposed to paper, for example. Paper tends to weaken the more you recycle it, and then you have to start out with, you know, brand new wood pulp to create brand new paper. But aluminum as well as glass can be recycled forever.
Okay, so let's say I'm ready to make that jump and I'm ready to reduce. What are some of the things you suggest people do that are most effective?
To reduce?
Yeah.
I think you need to think about your choices in the grocery store. And I guess one of the things that's pretty convenient about our society of convenience is that we do have multiple options at the grocery store. And so pay close attention to whether the materials that you're purchasing are made of recycled materials, one, or two, if it's something that you know can last a while longer. Let's say you're going to buy a new phone from the store. Is it one that's going to last you 1 year, or is it going to last you 5 years, or some other appliance? If you're going to pay a slightly higher amount so that it lasts you 5-10 more years in its life, you're going to save money in the long run. If you can continue to reuse it, pay small repair fees, or rather than getting rid of it and it ending up in the landfill.
So, and then on the, I was wondering if you could go into a little bit of like the smaller things we can do too. So for example, reusable bags or a water bottle, if you have any other sites or tips along those lines.
Well, as you, the listeners may have heard, single-use plastic bags aren't being collected by Millennium Recycling anymore up in Brookings. And where I'm at, Vermilion, I'm part of a group called Greening Vermilion, and we advocate for reusable bags at the grocery store, and it really cuts down on your waste. Some people like to use those plastic bags to get rid of their own garbage in their household, but do we really need hundreds and hundreds of single-use bags taking up space in our cupboards or our landfills? And reusable bags really goes a long way to reducing the amount of trash that we produce on a daily basis.
All right. So shifting gears here a little bit, hypothetically, let's say I'm someone who doesn't see the importance in it. I don't buy the research that's out there. What is the argument that you make to get somebody on board?
Well, recycling and reducing and reusing saves you money in the long run. That would be my key argument there, is cost savings to the consumer. You're going to save money over the long haul by recycling, by reusing, by purchasing materials that may have recycled products in them. And most people want to be able to save money, or to spend less money in the long run, and this is one way to do that. Just by the energy savings alone, it's the savings are enormous.
Right. Are there any resources, I guess, where I could find some tips or things I can do to, be a greener me?
Well, the internet is loaded with different ideas on how to recycle and what to recycle and how to reduce your energy consumption in your home. For example, you can contact your electricity provider and see if they would do an energy audit on your house. It would give you maybe even discounts on improving the energy efficiency of your home, such as maybe putting in new insulation into your house. Mm. The United States used to have a tax incentive for replacing windows. The Department of Energy has a program, even here in South Dakota, for lower-income families to help weatherize your house. All of these types of things can help you save money in the long run. Here in Vermilion, the Greening Vermilion, the group I'm a part of, has been trying to advocate for a recycling education, and we came out with a recycling guide. And so our own residents can obtain that guide from a variety of locations in town to learn more about how to recycle here in town and other sustainable practices that they can take into their daily life.
So on the energy savings cost things, I was going to ask, I look outside, looks kind of cloudy today, but are there any, say solar panels or any of those types of things cost effective yet for a place like South Dakota as far as energy savings?
Well, I don't think a lot of people in South Dakota realize that most of our energy comes from renewable resources. About 40% of our electricity generation comes from hydroelectric. 30% of our energy comes from wind generation, and the remainder comes from fossil fuels. And so you're looking at 70% of our power generation coming from renewable energy. Unfortunately, South Dakota is a little bit behind in terms of solar energy. Places like California and Arizona, for example, my parents live in Arizona and they have solar panels on their house. And the cost is pretty substantial upfront, but they'll be saving a lot of money over the long haul. And in fact, in some cases, they even sell some of the energy that's produced by solar panels back to the local electricity company. That's something that can be done here in South Dakota, but I think we've got a little ways to go until that's more economically feasible for people here.
Mark Sweeney, I appreciate you coming on the show today. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.